الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. وقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected listeners, the verse which I have just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in it, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, those who have said, Allah is our Lord, and then they have remained steadfast, for them there shall be no fear, nor will they grieve. Once a man, Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, as is related by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, that I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something in Islam. After which, I will have no need to ask anybody else anything. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, Aamantu billah, I believe in Allah, thumma istaqim, and then remain steadfast. There are many other verses and ahadith of a similar nature, all of which speak about steadfastness and perseverance in religion. Remaining steadfast is not only a virtue, but it's what's required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's what's demanded in deen for a person to be successful. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who have said, Allah is our Lord, and then they have remained steadfast upon this belief. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just say to him, say the kalima, say la ilaha illallah, say I believe in Allah, and suffice with just that one statement or utterance. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, I believe in Allah, thumma istaqim, and then remain steadfast. It's very easy to begin something, even in religion, to begin practicing, to embrace, to believe. In fact, it's been related in some narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself about this verse, that those who have said Allah is our Lord and then they have remained steadfast, that there were those who did say Allah is our Lord, yet after saying this, maybe after some time, they disbelieved. So it's very easy to embrace or to consider oneself a Muslim, especially if one has been born into a Muslim family, and to align oneself with the Ummah, with the rest of the Muslims, merely on the basis of a Muslim identity, name, upbringing, and background. All of these things are quite easy. It's also very easy to begin practicing and experience a sudden and short burst of enthusiasm and zeal. But what really is required in religion, what will really leave its mark, what will eventually secure a person's salvation is not bursts of activity, rather perseverance, steadfastness, and constancy and consistency in one's deeds and beliefs. And obviously this is something very, very difficult to achieve. And one of the most famous questions thrown about today is, how can a person remain steadfast in his religion? How can one achieve steadfastness? Often, despite knowing the laws, despite knowing the obligations and the prohibitions, despite knowing that safety and security, salvation, all lie in plodding the path of religion and remaining firm upon it, yet, despite this knowledge, we stray, we veer off the track, we suffer lapses, we fluctuate in our belief, in our strength of belief, and in our actions and deeds. We sway to and fro, we dither. So one of the most famous questions is, how can we achieve steadfastness? Some time ago I gave a talk on how to attain taqwa, and I highlighted this point then, and I repeat it now, which is that there's no simple answer. There's no magic solution. Do this, and that will automatically result in steadfastness. Make this dua, and it's guaranteed that you will remain perseverant, firm, upright, and steadfast upon your religion. So there's no one single magic dua or magic solution. It requires a lot of work. It requires sacrifice. It requires determination and a certain understanding. However, at times it may seem that the argument is circular. Just like taqwa, how does a person attain taqwa? Some of the things that are mentioned as being the ingredients of taqwa are also seen to be the very parts and constituents of taqwa. So sometimes it may appear to be circular that in order to achieve greater taqwa, one has to be a muttaqi anyway. One way of achieving taqwa is to avoid sin. Many of us think that taqwa only means to avoid sin anyway. So there's no one magic simple solution, but there are a number of things mentioned in the Qur'an and the ahadith. Not many, but a few. And if we study these verses and ahadith and try to apply them and gain a better understanding of them, then inshallah we will acquire a greater awareness of istiqamah, steadfastness in religion, and inshallah how it can be achieved also. But it's not a magic solution and there's no immediate recipe available. As I said, istiqamah, steadfastness, it's not just a luxury or a virtue, it's a requirement of religion. And in one verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, explaining that if people remain steadfast, Allah would shower blessings and rewards upon them, not only in the akhirah but also in the dunya, regarding one people, namely the mushrikeen of Quraysh. And some have said that this refers to the whole of mankind. Allah says, if only they remained steadfast upon the path, we would have showered abundant rain upon them. And in the two verses which I recited earlier, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, those who have said, Allah is our Lord, and they have remained steadfast upon this, for them there shall be no fear, nor will they ever grieve. Namely in the Akhirah, but also in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them tranquility, peace of mind, serenity, strength of heart. And in another verse, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّن غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ. Allah says that indeed those who have said Allah is our Lord, then they have remained steadfast, the angels descend upon them, saying to them, that do not fear, and do not grieve, and receive the glad tidings of that garden, of that Jannah which you were promised. We are your guardians and friends in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. And for you in the akhirah will be whatever your hearts desire. And you shall receive in the hereafter whatever you may demand. Nuzulun min ghafurin raheem. All of this will be hospitality on behalf of one who is mighty in forgiveness and most merciful. So the rewards of steadfastness are many. And true security, salvation in the akhirah is only for those who believe and then after believing remain firm and steadfast upon the religion and die in a state of iman and faith. As I said, it's very easy to start something. We all start many things, both in the dunya and the deen. We embark upon new projects, we start off new schemes, we enroll ourselves in many classes, we start so many things in our everyday lives about the dunya. But remaining perseverance, remaining steadfast, seeing that thing through till the end, it's not simple. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says in one hadith that each thing has a sudden burst and a sudden rise. But each rise also has its fall. And that's true for everything. And even so in deen, in religion. Many of us start something with great enthusiasm, zeal, but we are not moderate in what we do. We go to extremes, to the extent that we burden ourselves with more than we can actually bear. And this results in us doing something with a lot of passion, zeal, and enthusiasm for a short while, only to flop entirely thereafter. People have been known to start practicing and to go to such extremes that they almost become physically weak, ill, their character changes, they have mood swings, their whole personality changes, they become very rigid, literal, inflexible on many issues. But then, just as suddenly as they have lurched to one extreme, it's not too long before religion defeats them, because religion is mighty, it's like a mountain. To try to overcome religion or to do more than anybody else and as a result achieve something over religion is an experiment of failure. It is doomed to fail. In one hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَلَنْ يَشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. No one will ever be able to struggle against religion or go to extremes against religion except that religion will defeat him. And in one hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, related by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, that إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَتِينَ فَأَوْضِي فِيهِ بِرِفْقٍ. And in another narration of the same hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam adds, فَإِنَّ الْمُنْبَتَّ لَا أَرْضًا قَطَعْ وَلَا ظَهْرًا أَبْقَى. He says, this religion is firm, therefore embrace it and enter into it برفق, with ease, with simplicity, and calmly. For one who is hasty and who tires his mount, neither will he cover the distance nor will he spare his mount. It's quite simple. If a person is traveling, has a horse, he believes that he can, on average, the horse will cover about 30 miles a day. He estimates that he needs 3 days to cover the journey, complete the journey, and cover the distance. But in his eagerness to get there sooner than normal, he decides that why not arrive there in 2 days? So rather than push the horse to just 30, give it a slight push more and make it do 50 a day, and the next day I can reach my destination. He tries it. He either kills the horse or weakens it, sickens it somehow, and he himself isn't able to continue the journey. The mount is no longer able to carry him. He's only covered half the distance, and he hasn't spared his mount. Had he remained calm, had he not been hasty, of course it would have taken him 3 days, but he would have got there and would have spared the mount as well. So Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam gives that example in religion and says, this religion is firm, it's strong. Therefore embrace it and enter the religion with ease and calmness. For one who is hasty, neither does he cover the distance nor does he spare the mount. And in this case, covering the distance will mean being able to consistently and continuously practice and continue what one started. And sparing the mount meaning one, the person himself. Many people have been noted to have started practicing all of a sudden with great enthusiasm, do a lot, go to one extreme, and unfortunately they are defeated by religion. They do not spare themselves. This whole exercise leaves them a spiritual and physical and mental wreck. And then they lurch to the other extreme, which means before they would spend the entire night performing nafl salah. But now they don't even bother about their fara'id. And it can happen. In fact, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam warned the ummah against this. In one hadith related by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih from Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, saddidu wa qaribu. Remain firm and steadfast, and be moderate. And know that your actions will never be able to take you to Jannah alone, just your actions. And then he continued to say that indeed the most beloved deeds to Allah are those which are constant, even though they may be few or small. Once Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was sitting with somebody, and she informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of this particular woman. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, people praise her for her excessive salah at night. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, be careful. Only take upon yourselves as much as you can bear. For Allah will never tire of rewarding you until you tire yourselves. Allah can never tire of rewarding you until you tire yourselves. So you could go to great extremes, but Allah will never tire of rewarding you, one, and secondly, you will never be able to overcome religion or score any victory over religion, for religion is mighty and strong. No one struggles against religion or throws themselves against it except that religion shall defeat them. And the meaning of religion defeating them is this: but ultimately they will abandon their fara'id. And some, even during the time of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, became apostate, turned away from religion. Not necessarily after having practiced a lot or having gone to extremes. For whatever reason, it can happen. That's why Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Indeed, those who have said, Allah is our Lord, and then they have remained steadfast. To start something is very easy. How can we achieve steadfastness? First of all, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned a few things in conjunction with steadfastness. And in the ahadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has also mentioned a few things. First of all, we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to remain firm and steadfast, categorically. Allah has even told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one verse of the Quran, Allah says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكْ. That, O Prophet of Allah, remain steadfast as you have been instructed, as well as those with you who have repented, meaning those who have repented with you and are in your company, they should also remain steadfast, just as you remain steadfast and as you have been instructed by Allah. In one verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. or believers remain patient and remain firm and steadfast and prepare for your defense and fear Allah in the hope that you may succeed. And as that Sahabi radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, tell me one thing in Islam after which I will have no need to question anybody else. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah and then remain steadfast. Many ulama of hadith said that this hadith is one of those hadith upon which the whole edifice of Islam rests. Just like the famous hadith of sincerity of intention, in which Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, actions are according to intentions, and a man will only receive what he has intended. And then he speaks about hijrah. I've commented on the hadith in the past. There are other hadith as well, such as al-halal ubayyin wal-haram ubayyin wabaynahuma umurun mushtabihat, that halal is clear, haram is clear, and in between the two there are doubtful matters. There are other famous hadith, not that many, just a few, of which the ulama have said that these are fundamental hadith upon which the whole of religion rests. And one should memorize these hadith, gain a deep understanding of them, and apply them all the time. One of those famous hadith is this one, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahabi who asked him, tell me one thing in Islam after which I will have no need to question anybody. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say, I believe in Allah, thumma istaqim, and then remain steadfast. One of the ways of gaining a better understanding of istiqamah and steadfastness, and of acquiring some knowledge of how to attain steadfastness, is to realize that, one, we shouldn't be hasty in what we need and want and expect, and secondly, we shouldn't despair when we don't get it soon. This is one of the main reasons for lack of steadfastness, especially in today's society. We live in the age of fast everything. Instant technology, fast food, speedy delivery, instant communications. Everything is rapid and instant. And we have become accustomed to pressing buttons and getting results. And some of us apply the same logic, the same hastiness, the same desire in religion. So we start something, and if we don't see results, we abandon it, or we despair. And that's what many people do in religion. Some of us, when we start practicing, we think that alhamdulillah, Allah has made many promises. Those who practice, those who believe, those who pray and fast, those who adhere to the laws of religion, Allah will grant them peace, prosperity, security, tranquility, peace of mind, heart, contentment of the heart, etc. Allah will grant them prosperity as well in the dunya. That's a great misunderstanding though, about prosperity. And then when we don't see these things, we despair, we lose hope, we lose faith, and then we abandon our efforts altogether. Many of us despair because occasionally, in our burst of enthusiasm, we do experience certain things. Many people have testified and explained as to how when they first started praying Salah, there was this emotion, this faith, this conviction, this devotion in Salah. There were feelings of piety, of conviction, of religiousness. Yet now the person, after a few months or a few years, feels empty inside. Or people feel that I only get these surges occasionally. And most of the time, I don't feel anything. And therefore, I must be evil. It's no good. People either blame themselves or they blame the worship and religion, and in either case they eventually abandon whatever they are to. Two things to note here. First of all, this hastiness comes from shaytan, and it's not good. In a hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-anatu min Allah wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Forbearance and patience are from Allah, and hastiness comes from shaytan. One only has to look at the Quran and the life of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran was revealed over 23 years, and not instantly. 23 years is a long time by any standard. And the mushrikeen also made the same, well, the disbelievers made the same request to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. Why isn't the Qur'an revealed in one go to him? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that by saying, كَذَلِكَ لِنَثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That, O Prophet of Allah, we do reveal it in this way, in portions, over time, and not in an instant altogether. Why? Specifically, لِنَثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so that through this gradual revelation over time, we may strengthen your heart. This in itself is a source of steadfastness, constancy, consistency. We expect immediate results. People start practicing, they expect to see pious dreams, they expect to see visions, have spiritual religious experiences. They expect to see a sudden change and transformation in their thinking, character, behavior, and in those around them, and in their fortune. But when it's not forthcoming in a few weeks, or a few months, and even after a few years, people despair. And this, sometimes when we do experience feelings of religious ecstasy, emotion, happiness, joy, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in salah or outside salah, the truth is these conditions are momentary. They can never endure, they can never last. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum in a hadith related by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, as well as others, from Sayyidina Hamza radiyallahu anhum. Sayyidina Hamza radiyallahu anhum himself relates that one day I returned home, and after having spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I became preoccupied with my family and my children, and I realized that my condition was so different to that in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I said to myself, oh Hamza, you have become a hypocrite. And then I said to myself, I must go and inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this condition of mine. So I came out of my house. In one narration he says that I was repeating to myself, قَدْ نَافَقَ حَمْضَلَهُ. Hamza has become a hypocrite. I met Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to me, Subhanallah, what are you saying, O Hamza? So I explained my condition to him. I said, O Abu Bakr, when we are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he speaks to us of Jannah and Jahannam, it is as though Jannah and Jahannam are before our very eyes. Yet when we return home and we become preoccupied with our family and our properties and possessions, then we forget much. And our condition is totally different. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, indeed, what you are saying is true. Let us both go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and explain this condition of ours to him. When they arrived, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, and Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu explained what he felt. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Hamza, your condition with me or in my presence can never endure. It can never remain constant. For if you were to remain in the same condition outside as you are in my presence, then the angels would descend from the heavens and greet you upon your beds and also in the streets. وَلَكِنْ سَاعَةً يَا حَنْظَلَ سَاعَةً يَا حَنْظَلَ سَاعَةً يَا حَنْظَلَ Prophet ﷺ said thrice, Oh Hanzala, this can only happen occasionally, this can only happen occasionally, this can only happen occasionally. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu could not experience this religious emotion or this conviction, and all the time their condition in the presence of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam would not endure. Of course, they were pious enough and fearful enough to be fearful of this and concerned about it. But Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam informed them that it can never happen. These things can only be occasional. So these two things we have to realize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's timetable is very different. Allah revealed the Quran in 23 years. And in many places of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that it is He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And many ulama upon the, well, at the time of interpreting these verses, the famous question is, Allah in His power, of which He says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ For Allah, it is but when He wishes something to happen, a matter of saying be and it becomes. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to create the heavens and the earth, the entire universe in 6 days, when He could have done it in an instant? Well, first of all, who are we to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? لَا يُسَأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسَأَلُونَ Allah says He will not be questioned about what He does, but they will be questioned. The ulama have said one of the wisdoms in this, one wisdom behind this, is that Allah teaches His creation to do things with patience, forbearance, and gradual procedure, rather than to seek everything in an instant. If Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and each day only Allah knows how long it is with Him, if Allah revealed the Quran in 23 years, why do we wish to become saints and scholars overnight? And if we can't achieve it, we despair and abandon all hope and effort. Secondly, no matter how pious we may be, no matter how scholarly and learned we may be, these religious experiences, or these moments of spirituality, of faith, strength in faith, conviction, fear of Allah, or joy of the Iman, these experiences are momentary and occasional. They are not enduring, they are not long, they can never last. If they did last, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the angels would greet you upon your beds and upon the streets. But only occasionally can these things happen. When we realize these two things, and we abandon haste, we lower our expectations of ourselves and in religion, inshallah, this will be conducive to remaining firm and steadfast upon the religion, without swaying to and fro. Timing. Patience. Secondly, many of us look around us and at times we are steadfast in our prayer, in our worship, in our salah and zakah. But when we see the situation of the Muslim world, we despair, and our perception of the way things are in the Ummah affects our steadfastness and our ability to remain firm upon the deen. And this is a major point. Again, we should look at the example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, there is a very beautiful example in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for you, for those amongst you who wish to meet Allah and who wish to see the final day and who remember Allah often. Many people quote this verse, and when this verse is heard, immediately we think of Sunnah, and it's correct to do so, because this verse refers to every Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, let us not forget the context in which this verse was actually revealed. This verse was revealed in the Battle of the Trench. And I've explained it before, just to repeat myself. The beautiful example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala primarily speaks of here is the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His faith and hope in the face of calamity, against all odds, in the Battle of the Trench, for the first time ever in the history of the Arabian Peninsula, an army of more than 12,000 people had been amassed. And this army had marched from all the corners of Arabia upon Medina, intent and determined to crush the religion of Islam and the Muslims, and also to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the army arrived and surrounded Medina in the 50th year of Hijrah, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were unable to leave the city. And their best strategy was to remain in the city and defend it. Upon the advice of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the believers to dig a trench so that the exposed parts of Medina could be fortified and defended. He himself participated in the digging. It was during the winter. As a result, there was heat during the day, the heat of Arabia. But during the night, it was also bitterly cold. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they braved privations, hunger, thirst, and fear. No one can really describe the condition of the believers or the inhabitants of Medina at that time when they were under siege. But Allah Azza wa Jal describes it beautifully in His Quran, in that inimitable language. Allah says in just one verse, Allah describes the condition of the people of Medina. إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah says, when the enemy came upon you, from above you and from beneath you, meaning from all the sides of Medina, when the eyes shot upwards, fixed in fear, and the heart leapt to the throats, and even you began to imagine all kinds of things about Allah, on that occasion, the believers were tested, and they were shaken, a great shaking. That was the condition of the believers and of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Yet, at that time of such danger, the Jews, Banu Qurayza, had promised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as part of their pact and agreements with him that they would help defend the city. I've explained this in detail on many occasions before. They obviously betrayed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam wanted to ask, he had heard a rumor, but there was no definite knowledge. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the two leaders of Aws and Khazraj to the Jews of Banu Qurayza to ascertain whether they would support the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims and help defend the city, or whether they had betrayed them and sold themselves to the enemy. When the two Sahaba radiallahu anhum returned, before when he had sent them, he had told them, "When you return, do not speak to me loudly, lest this news harms the morale of the others, and signal to me from afar, so that I will understand." The two Sahabi radiallahu anhu came, and from afar they signaled to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam understood that now the believers would have to contend with an enemy not only outside the city, but also within the city itself. Traitors. A whole clan. In that condition, when apparently there was no help, there was now an enemy camped and living within the city, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam got this news. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lay down upon the ground and engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum gradually, they also learned that the Jews had betrayed the Muslims and now they had to face an enemy within the city also. The hypocrites were making noises. The hypocrites were frightened, whispering here, there, and trying to create confusion in the ranks of the Muslims. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the Sahaba saw all of this, they saw Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam lying on the ground engaged in the dhikr of Allah. They did not despair, but rather they said, "This is exactly what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam promised us. And what Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam have promised us is true. And this whole experience," Allah says, "وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا," it did not increase them in anything but faith and submission. And I'll translate the verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "There is for you in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a beautiful example for one who wishes to meet Allah and see the final day, and who remembers Allah often." When the believers saw the hordes of the army, saw the hordes of the enemy, they said, "This is exactly what Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam promised us." وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam have both spoken the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا, and this whole experience did not increase them but in iman and in submission. This is the prime example, uswa and sunnah, that Allah is actually speaking of in these verses. This is a tool of steadfastness, that one has yaqeen in the promise of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One has faith and conviction in the words of Allah and Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam. And no matter how much the ummah may be suffering, no matter how weak we may seem to be, no matter how defeated and subjugated we appear to be, there is hope. And Allah has made a promise. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, And they planned, and Allah planned, and Allah is the best of planners. Allah's timetable is not a hasty one like ours. And thus, even in the first instant, when Masjid al-Aqsa was taken away from the Muslims, at that time it was the Christians. The Christians converted the Masjid into a palace for one of its French knights, with rooms for the other nobles. Parts of the Masjid were actually converted and used as stables for their horses, and many parts of the Masjid were used to store rubbish by the Christians. For 90 years or more, slightly more, the Masjid remained in the hands of the Christians. People did despair, and ultimately the Muslims had no one to blame but themselves. But Allah has made a promise, and that promise will be fulfilled. And against all odds, in the face of kufr and disbelief, Allah shattered the might and the arrogance of the Crusaders through Sultan Salah al-Din Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayh, who conquered Bayt al-Maqdis and once again restored it to its position of honor, glory, and dignity for the Muslims. 33 years have passed or more since the occupation of the Masjid and its seizure by the Yahud. Again, the Muslim Ummah has no one to blame but itself. But we can't despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, It is He who has sent His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and with haqq, so that His religion may reign supreme and prevail over all other religions. And in many different verses, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ Allah will complete His light and His nur, even though the disbelievers may disapprove of it or detest it. We have to have yaqeen in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that inshaAllah will help us to remain steadfast upon the religion. But along with this yaqeen, along with this conviction and belief in the promise of Allah, we also have to make an effort. And Allah has promised us, this is another thing, you make an effort, Allah will grant you steadfastness. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ O believers, if you assist Allah, Allah will assist you, and Allah will make you steadfast. Allah will make you steadfast. So we can't just rely upon this promise and sit back and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that His religion prevails over all of the religions and that this deen will become victorious. No. We have to believe in it and make the effort. For us, the question is, deen will prevail, but will we survive as believers? That's the question. And therefore, we can't just sit back and rely on the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we make an effort, and Allah will reward us by granting us victory and success. And even if that's not granted to us in our lifetime, or in our own personal experience, at least Allah will grant us personal steadfastness. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ O believers, if you assist Allah, Allah shall assist you. وَيَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ And Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant you steadfastness. Another way of achieving steadfastness is again to draw an example from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to study and relate to one another the lives of the people of the past, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the stories mentioned in the Quran and the Ahadith, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the biographies and the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This actually helps the person remain steadfast, and this inspires a person and grants him strength of the heart. In fact, Allah mentions in the Quran, once جنيد البغدادي رحمة الله عليه, famous scholar and saint. He was once asked by his students that, is there any benefit? We see you relating the stories of the pious. Is there any benefit in relating these stories of the pious to us? He said, yes. He said, through listening to and studying and relating the stories of the pious and the people of the past, you will actually become steadfast in your own religion, and you will be inspired and you will gain strength. So the student asked him, what evidence is there for that? He recited the verse of the Quran, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah actually tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, we relate to you the stories of these prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam, such stories through which we strengthen your heart. And indeed in this has come to you truth, remembrance, and a good counsel and an admonition for the believers. So if Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, being the best of creation, the leader of the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, was reminded of the experience, the suffering, and the ultimate triumph and victory of his brothers who came before him, even though he is the messenger, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the chief and the leader of all the Prophets alayhim salatu wasalam, then for us there is even a better example in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the examples of the Prophets and the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, by studying their lives, by listening to the accounts of their lives, by relating stories of their lives, one can actually be inspired, strengthened, and one can gain steadfastness. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was told that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the secret of all of these stories in the Quran. Time and time again, most of the verses of the Quran are about Jannah, Jahannam, the Akhirah, hereafter, belief in the hereafter, and also the stories of the prophets and the peoples of before. So by studying these stories, not only of the Quran, but the Ahadith, the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, one can be inspired and strengthened. Insha'Allah, one will be able to gain steadfastness through these stories, just as Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we relate to you the stories of these messengers alayhi wa salatu wa salam, such that through them we strengthen your hearts. And that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by learning about the lives of those who came before us, we should strive to emulate them and to follow in their footsteps. To follow rather than innovate. To emulate their example rather than introduce new things into religion all the time. Once Imam Darimi rahmatullahi alayhi relates a hadith in his Musnad, in his Sunan, that a man came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma and said to him, "Oh Ibn Abbas, give me some advice." So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said to him, "I advise you to fear Allah, and I advise you to remain firm and steadfast upon your religion. Follow and do not innovate." Thus, by following the example of those who came before us, rather than innovating and departing from their ways, one will inshallah gain steadfastness in one thing. Apart from these things which I have mentioned, one of the main conditions for steadfastness is to avoid sinning in all its forms. Easier said than done, and it may seem very apparent, but we have to realize that when we sin, that sinning is not detached from our deeds or from our piety, our religion, our faith. It harms us. It harms our iman. Sinning harms our iman. Sinning and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala harms our faith. And it could ultimately even lead to kufr. And therefore a man can never remain steadfast while sinning all the time. Of course, we will always sin. But the more a person strives to avoid the major sins, and even when he commits minor sins, he is forever turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remorseful, guilty, and repentant, then inshaAllah, Allah will grant steadfastness to such a person. Otherwise, one thing that destroys any hope of steadfastness is sinning, especially the major sins, such as shirk. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, in both of these verses, that indeed those who say, who have said that Allah is our Lord, and ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then they remain steadfast. It's actually been narrated from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he said, the meaning of ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا here is that they do not commit shirk. They avoid shirk. And just as mentioned in that famous hadith, raised by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, that the Prophet Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu says that when the verse was revealed, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانُهُمْ بِذُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, that indeed those who have believed and have not polluted their belief with any form of dhulm, injustice, these are the ones who shall have security. And they are the ones who are guided. This verse was very difficult and burdensome upon the believers because they feared for themselves. And they said, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, أَيُّنَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ, who is there amongst us who has never been unjust to himself by sinning? Does this mean any sin? So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, no. The dhulm, the injustice being referred to here, is referred to in the verse, in the advice of Luqman to his son, when he said, يَا بُنِيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, O my son, do not ascribe any partner to Allah, for indeed shirk is a great injustice. It's a gross injustice. So, as Allah says, indeed those who have said that our Lord is Allah, then they have remained steadfast. For them, is the reward that they shall never fear, nor will they grieve. The meaning of ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا primarily is that they remain steadfast by not committing shirk. Shirk has to be avoided at all costs. It's very evident. But apart from shirk, the other sins. In the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain firm and steadfast, Allah says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَبْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, O Prophet of Allah, remain upright and steadfast as you have been instructed, as well as those who have repented with you. وَلَا تَبْغَوْا, and do not transgress. Meaning the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set in the Sharia. Do not go beyond those limits, do not transgress those limits and bounds. This in itself will help a person remain steadfast upon the deen, as because Allah has placed them in conjunction. O Prophet of Allah, remain steadfast as you have been instructed, as well as those who have repented with you, and do not transgress. Ultimately, if a person transgresses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will snatch the ability to remain steadfast from him. Following one's desires destroys any hope of steadfastness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, again instructing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah azza wa jalla says, فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُوا وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, O Prophet of Allah, therefore, invite, continue to invite, and remain firm and steadfast as you have been instructed, and do not follow their desires. Following desires, one's own, or those of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either way, following any desire will result in a person swaying, veering from the path, and never hoping to achieve steadfastness in any way. Avoiding sins in all forms Because when a person sins, that sin, despite his piety, can actually lead him to slipping on the path of religion despite his former steadfastness. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking of the obligation of fulfilling one's promises and the harm and the prohibition of breaking them, Allah says that do not use your promises as a means of deceiving one another. فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا, lest a foot slips after having remained steadfast. Here, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, a person may have actually been steadfast before, but even steadfastness is not guaranteed. But along with his prayer, worship, adherence to the Sharia, and apparent steadfastness, if he continues to sin by deceiving others and breaking his promises, then it is highly likely, it is greatly possible, that this single sin of breaking promises may actually lead him to veer off the path of religion and to become astray, even though he was steadfast in the past. Allah says, فَبِذِلَّ قَدْمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا, do not use your promises to deceive one another, lest a foot slips after having remained steadfast before. So avoid sin in all its forms, shirk, transgression, following one's own desire or that of the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as sin, avoiding sin in all its forms, especially the sins of the tongue. Because the hadith which I quoted in the beginning, the narration of Muslim, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me one thing in Islam, after which I will have no need of asking anybody anything. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, say, I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, then remain steadfast. This hadith, the one which I quoted earlier, is actually the shorter version, the abridged version. The full hadith is as follows. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something in Islam after which I will have no need to ask anybody. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, say, I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, then remain steadfast. The Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, فَمَا أَتَّقِي, what should I avoid? What should I fear in order to remain steadfast? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed to his own tongue and said this, fear this. The sins of the tongue destroy all hope of steadfastness. In one hadith related by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. A person's iman will never remain upright and steadfast until his heart becomes steadfast, and his heart can never become steadfast until his tongue becomes upright. And in the hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal al-Jumsta from Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each morning, every organ of the body rebukes the tongue. And each organ speaks to the tongue, addressing it and saying, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِينَا فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكَ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ اعْوَجَزْتَ اعْوَجَزْنَا. Every organ of the body actually says to the tongue each morning, O tongue, fear Allah in us, for we are as you are and we stand only because of you. If you are straight and upright, we are straight and upright. And if you are bent, then we are bent. There is no hope of achieving steadfastness in religion whilst a person continues to sin, especially the sins of the tongue. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, say, آمنت بالله ثم استقم, I believe in Allah, ثم استقم, and then remain steadfast. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what should I avoid? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his tongue and said this. And in another narration of the same hadith, the words are, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, say I believe in Allah, mustaqim, then remain steadfast. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, what is the thing that you fear the most for me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his tongue and said, the thing that I fear the most for you is your tongue. Anything can destroy steadfastness is the tongue. Rather than engage the tongue in gossip, in backbiting, in sinful things, in slander and other things, one should engage the dhikr, the tongue in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will lead a person to steadfastness. Allah azza wa jalla says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha laqitum fi'atan fathbutu wa dhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. O believers, when you meet a faction of the enemy, then remain firm and steadfast and remember Allah often in the hope that you may succeed. The ulama have explained that when a mujahid faces the enemy, he should engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as Allah has instructed. That dhikr of Allah would strengthen his heart, inspire him and keep him steadfast. And just as Allah says in another verse, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, it is through the remembrance of the heart that the heart. It is through the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find peace and contentment. The dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla will lead a person to steadfastness. And in one hadith related by Imam Darimi in his Sunan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he says, do not ever hope to face the enemy. Do not ever hope to face the enemy. But when you do, then remain firm. And engage in the dhikr of Allah. So much so that even if they create a din and clamor and noise, then you remain silent. Silence even in the face of the enemy. And engage yourselves in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything helps a person to achieve steadfastness, it's the dhikr of Allah. And if anything destroys steadfastness, it's the sin of the tongue. One other thing which is very important in understanding how to achieve steadfastness is that we should look at ourselves and not at others. In what way? Too often, this is related to what I said earlier, we look around us and we see the ummah in such a sorry state. And we fear, we despair, we waver, we fluctuate in our belief and in our practice. Because something is happening elsewhere. Or even to us. In order to remain steadfast, one should realize that whatever happens elsewhere or even to us, especially elsewhere, that shouldn't affect our deen. Even the loss of Masjid al-Aqsa should not affect our deen. Of course it will grieve us. It should wake us up. But it shouldn't lead us to veering of the path of religion. It shouldn't lead us to despair. In fact, it should prod us into more action. And this is a result of our weakness in faith. We look to others. Whoever believes, believes for his own sake. Whoever disbelieves, disbelieves for his own sake. Whoever does good does so to the benefit of it, for the benefit of his soul. Whoever sins does so to the detriment of his soul. Sometimes we see prominent people or famous people. If they believe, we are inspired. If they disbelieve, we are dejected. But that shouldn't be the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen is in no need of anybody. And we make the mistake of looking up at royalty. And we say, oh, Prince Fulan is interested in Islam. MashaAllah, Islam must be true. Because he's interested in Islam, Islam must be true. Such and such actor has become a Muslim. MashaAllah, Islam is on the increase. And our own iman is boosted. What kind of Muslim has he become or she become? One thing. And secondly, if today someone believes, tomorrow they disbelieve, will we become as dejected as we were elated before? Whoever believes does so for the benefit of their own soul. Whoever disbelieves does so to the detriment of their own soul. We shouldn't be seeking strength in other people's faith, or we shouldn't be trying to compensate for our weakness in searching for other people's faith and conviction. And if anybody disbelieves, then it shouldn't grieve us. It should sadden us, but it shouldn't grieve us in the sense that our own iman becomes weak or we become dejected. This may sound surprising, but the strongest evidence is there in the Qur'an, in the life of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَذُرَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but a messenger. Many messengers passed before him. What if he dies? Or if he is killed, you will turn on your heels and flee. And whoever turns on his heels and flees, he harms Allah not in the least. And Allah shall reward those who are grateful. This verse was revealed in order to strengthen the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum during the Battle of Uhud. When in the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims, because of a strategic error on the part of some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their failure to obey the letter of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, obey the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the letter. Despite an initial victory, the Muslims suffered a setback. As a result, the Muslim ranks were in disarray, there was confusion, the Sahaba were dispersed, and even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to retreat in a band of followers. And a rumour spread in the confusion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been martyred. He had been injured, but he had not been martyred. But a rumour spread. When the rumour spread that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been martyred, some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum lost all hope, will and strength to survive and to fight on. Some Sahaba say of themselves that they actually, when they heard this rumor, they sat down in the battlefield of Uhud and lowered their arms. And there was confusion. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum responded in a different way. One of them heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been martyred. He said, then there is no joy in life after him, and he plunged himself into the ranks of the kuffar. Later, when some of the Sahaba saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam retreating, being nursed and cared for, injured but alive, and the news spread again that the rumor was false, and alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is well and safe, there were cries of Allahu Akbar, and some of those who felt dejected. Many messengers had passed before him, and what was the lesson to be drawn from their lives? Some of them were martyred. Some of them were executed. They were martyred by execution. Some of them, like Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Jews sawed his body into half. Some of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were pelted to death by their own people. And all of them, with the exception of Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, died. And he would also die. And many of them died a natural death. They were persecuted, some were murdered and slain by their own people. The presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should not be the sole cause of your belief, and his absence therefore resulting in the case that if he is absent, your belief disappears or you lose all strength. Your belief is in Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hay, everlasting. Allah suffers no change. Allah will never die. We are to love Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. His love is a condition of our faith. We are to follow him in everything, but we are never to forget, and we are never to lose sight of the goal that we belong to Allah, and to Allah we shall return. Our belief and our iman is in Allah, ultimately. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were reminded of this, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but a messenger. And many messengers came before him. What if he dies or he is killed? You will turn on your heels and flee? And whoever turns on his heels and flees, he does not harm Allah in the least. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward those who are grateful. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu demonstrated the belief and the understanding of this verse. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Sahaba radiallahu anhum couldn't believe what had happened. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the one of the greatest iman amongst them, his khalif, the one with the best understanding, his best friend, he came, he kissed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came out, addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and said to them, he recited this verse of the Qur'an, and then he said, whoever used to worship the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. And whoever worships Allah, know that Allah is alive and Allah is everlasting. Allah shall never die. So we should not lose sight of our belief, of whom we believe in. Our belief may be attached in some way, but not ultimately so, to people, personalities, even that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or places such as Masjid al-Aqsa. When one has this understanding, then inshaAllah he will be in a better position to remain steadfast upon religion. And Allah says two verses later, after mentioning this verse, وَكَأَيِّن مِّن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعْهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهْنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says there were many messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam with whom men of God, men of Allah fought, and these men of Allah along with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never for a moment suffered any weakness despite what befell them in the way of Allah, despite suffering calamities, nor did they ever grow weak, nor did they sit back. Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin, and Allah loves those who are perseverant and steadfast. We'll run out of time. There's still so much more to say about steadfastness, but I'll just summarize what I said earlier. Steadfastness, there's no magic solution, but some of the things mentioned in the Quran and the Ahadith that are conducive and helpful to attaining steadfastness, achieving it in religion, are: one, to be moderate and to avoid going to extremes, to only take upon oneself what one can bear, and to avoid bursts of enthusiasm and zeal, and especially extremism directed towards others. Another thing conducive to attaining and achieving steadfastness is to gain this understanding and realization that we are very hasty and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's timetable is different. The Quran was revealed in 23 years. The universe was created in 6 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal the Quran gradually, as he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specifically so that through this gradual process his heart may be strengthened. And apart from the timing, one has to have faith in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this religion will reign supreme, will prevail. At the same time, we have to assist the deen of Allah. Allah says, if you assist the deen of Allah, Allah shall assist you, وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, and Allah shall grant you steadfastness. We have to take an example and study the lives of those who came before us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that by relating the stories of the prophets of before to you, we strengthen your heart. And another thing is that we should realize that our goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our belief is in Allah azza wa jal ultimately. Whatever happens around us, that shouldn't affect us so much that we sway to and fro. The Sahaba were warned that even if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves you and you are deprived of his noble presence further, then even then this shouldn't mean that there should be any change in your iman. We should also realize that the hearts are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one thing that destroys any possibility of steadfastness is sin. Avoid shirk, avoid transgression, avoid sin in all its forms. And Allah just gives one example of breaking promises. A man who, along with his former skeptic, despite his steadfastness, if he breaks his promises, that one sin alone could be responsible, as Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, of him veering off the path of religion and his foot slipping from the path of religion despite former steadfastness. We should also avoid especially the sins of the tongue. As the Prophet said to the Sahabi, say, I believe in Allah and then remain steadfast. The Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, what should I then avoid and fear? Prophet said, the tongue. Engage in the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah helps a person achieve steadfastness. And two things finally, dua. Hearts are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam, Mu'mineen, Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha relates. She was asked, what's the best prayer of the Prophet? What prayer did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeat the most? She said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I noticed him always praying this dua, and I asked him, Rasulullah, this is your dua most often. Why do you recite this dua, which was Allahumma muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, O Allah, he who is the transformer of the heart, keep my heart steadfast upon your religion. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Ummu Salama, indeed the hearts of the whole of mankind are in between the two fingers of the fingers of Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flips them and transforms them as He wishes. Therefore I continue to pray, O Allah, and that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, O Allah, one who flips, changes and transforms the hearts, keep my heart steadfast upon your religion. And Allah has also taught us a dua in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O our Lord, do not allow our hearts to become astray after you have guided us, and grant us mercy from yourself. Indeed, you are the one who is the most bountiful in giving. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the tawfiq to understand. Sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulih nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
This lecture was given by Sheikh Abu Yusuf Riyad al-Haq and has been presented to you by the Islamic Sharia Institute. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121-773-5191 or alternatively by post at the Islamic Sharia Institute, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10-0UW, United Kingdom, or visit our website www.sharia-institute.org. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.